Morning, everyone. How's it going?
Good.
It's a very Australian way of starting, so I'm sorry. Forgive me. But I was really happy to see some blue sky today. When I left Australia on Tuesday, it was 14 degrees, cloudy, overcast, rainy, and just the beginning of winter. I land in England, and it was 14 degrees, overcast, rainy, and just about the beginning of summer. And I was like, what have I got myself in for? So if you could pray for some nice weather, I'd appreciate that. But for those of you who don't know, my name is Becky, and I work for Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, in Australia. Many of you might not know what YWAM is, so I'll just give a brief overview. It was started by a man named Lauren Cunningham. He's an American guy. And he started it because he realized that there was no way for youth to be involved in missions. Like, youth had so much passion and excitement and zeal to share about Jesus, but there, at his time, there was no way for them to be involved. So he created YWAM. And YWAM, therefore, has been going for many years now, and it's not just about youth. You can join at any age, just so you know. I've been on outreach with a 3-month-old and a 70-year-old. And it's a space where you go through a 3-month training course, and then you get to go on outreaches into different parts of the world and fulfill the Great Commission, as we know. So my main part of this is actually working with teenagers. Now, some of you might be like, ooh, good luck to her. Yeah, I understand. But I really love teenagers. I think there's so much that they have to bring. And so I do this by, I go into schools and with my team, that I got a handy little... Oh, no, I should point it. This is my team. We go into high schools and we share about what God's doing in the world. So we'll share about peace camps that are happening in Iraq and Turkey or refugee camps in Greece and just how God is moving and get young people excited that they don't have to be special to be a part of what God wants to do. Like, anyone can do it. And a part of what we do is also take teenagers on short-term missions trips. So is there anyone in the room who's maybe had a teenager or worked with teenagers before? Yeah, a few nods, yeah. Well, you know what I mean when I say that they're hard work. No, I'm joking. I do really enjoy them. But this is where I kind of want to start my preach today. And I want to take you through the journey that I've had in this last year and why I chose Mark 4 to preach on this morning. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm a bit of a yes girl. Like, if an opportunity comes up, I'm most likely to say yes to it. Maybe not when my mom says it, but most of the time I'll be like, yes, I want to get involved. Like, I want to be helping people. I want to be doing lots of different things. And much to my detriment, this can mean that I can get super busy and I'm doing so many different things at one time. So throughout this last year, there was one time where I was holding 3 different roles in my job. I was going from a youth camp to a work conference to a youth camp. And in amongst that, I was leading a 2-week missions trip to Cambodia with 25, 14-year-olds. So let me show, this is them. This is us in Cambodia. It was pretty awesome. We run these trips as a place for them to experience God in a whole new way, but also to serve the global church in what they're doing. So my main task was organizing this trip, which meant that everything from accommodation to meals to ministry was my responsibility. And when there's a language barrier, that can get even more difficult. But, you know, challenges are challenges. So it meant that throughout this whole time, as I was doing all these different tasks, that I was actually getting really stressed and overworked because I was saying yes to everything. That I was having stress headaches that would last maybe 3 days and I would not be able to sleep because I was too stressed about everything that I was meant to be doing. And as I was so stressed, I was kind of like, God became the back burner, which is very not the right thing to do, and I know that. But it was true. Like, God became second in everything that I was doing as I was like, I've got to get these tasks done. I don't want to be spending time with God. If I start processing all this hard stuff now, when is it going to end? There's never going to be enough time to go through everything. And I didn't totally shut him out. I had those desperate pleas. Now, I don't know if you know what I mean when I say a desperate plea, but those prayers where you're like, I know I haven't really been spending time with you, God, but do you want to do this for me? Like, oh, God, like, can you make this work? Like, those desperate pleas that come when you're like, oh, I have nothing left. I can't do anymore. Like, God, can you please come and take over? And it was one of these desperate pleas came just before my trip to Cambodia. So this was just back in March, just before I was going. I found that I didn't want to go, which to some of you, you're like, yeah, why would you want to spend 2 weeks with 14-year-olds? Like, that makes sense. But to me, I was like, ah, like normally I'm so excited to be a part of what God wants to do in these teenagers' lives and to travel, to go to different countries. I normally love it. But I was finding, I was like, I really don't want to go. God, I really don't want to do this. Like, I'm not cut out to lead. There had already been like a few miscommunications that had happened where I felt like I had let people down. And I was like, ooh, I don't want to do this. Like, take this away. Like, God, if I'm going to make it through, like, you've got to do some kind of miracle. And spoiler alert, I made it through. And I made it through, and it was way better than I could have ever expected. There were amazing testimonies from the youth. There was glowing feedback from our contacts. And I just kind of sat there as people were sharing, like, we went round the room at the end, and we're like, okay, what did you learn? And like, we talked to our contacts, like, how was it? Like, how did this help your ministry? And I was just, I sat there dumbfounded because I was like, okay, God, why have you answered my prayer when I've been basically ignoring you? Like, why did you do this for me? That's just, I don't deserve it. I really don't deserve it. This is not fair. And not only did it happen with this trip to Cambodia, but it continually happened over the next few months as I had so many different things that I was doing. And I know that Jesus isn't a genie in a bottle. He's not Will Smith dressed up in blue, if you've seen the new Aladdin. But he's so much greater than that. So why was he answering my prayers when I wasn't putting the time into this relationship? And it was actually only a few weeks ago that I found this passage that my dad just read. And I want to read it again for us because it gave me so much understanding of where I had been at. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. I have this handy little picture because I feel this scripture highlights three different stages. And I want to talk about the three different stages, and pictures always help to demonstrate points. So at the beginning is the seed. And this passage talks about the seed being planted. And this is why I say Jesus isn't a genie in a bottle, because it's not all just up to Jesus. Like, we have a part in planting those seeds. Like, it's important for us to do that. So in my story, as I was sharing about going to Cambodia, those seeds being planted was me putting in the preparation to make the trip happen. It's me providing the space for God to move and creating the space for that to happen. So this passage obviously comes just after the parable of the sower. And that's talking about all the different grounds that the seed can fall on. And I think as it's highlighted in that parable, like, if we continue to sow the seed, it's not about the ground that it lands on. The rest of that's up to God, but it's about us continually sowing that seed. So I was like, okay, great. I sowed the seed to Cambodia, but how did that help? Like, why did God then go on and answer my prayer? And I think this continues into the next bit, which is from the seedling to the flowering. And this is kind of the worst and the best bit in two. It's the best because it's Jesus's part, but it's the worst because what it can mean for us. So Jesus, in this, he says, the night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. So the farmer didn't know, like, how things continued to grow. He was just going about his daily life and had been faithful in planting those seeds, but yet things continue to grow. And this is how it is with God. He's faithful, like, he is the result. We often think that, oh, it's about us making the results happen and make things happen. But it's actually about Jesus. Like, the results are up to him. And God is so much more faithful to his seeds than we could ever be. Like, that's one of the amazing things about God, is that the point where we would probably give up and say, okay, that's too far, that's too much, God doesn't. He just continually goes, and he continually is faithful to his seed. So this was really helpful to me because I was like, oh, God is really faithful. So in my experience, even though I didn't feel that God was always there, I knew that he was there. And in that, like, I want to make the distinction between the feeling and the knowing. And that's why I think this passage highlights is you, the feeling, it's easy to be like, oh, I've got the warm fuzzies about God. Like, oh, in that prayer and worship, like, I really felt like God was there. Like, his presence was really with me. Or, oh, I'm overly excited about God. Like, I feel excited about God. But that doesn't always happen. Like, that is not always the case. And a lot of it is actually about knowing that God is there and trusting throughout that process. And that's what I believe this seedling to the flower part is. Our part in that is trusting that God has got it. And it's trusting in God. And that trusting can look like reading through the scriptures and knowing that God is there because it says in his word, or from past experience, okay, God was there then, why would it be different now? Like, or from the amazing people that we get to have around us, like hearing their stories of how they've met God is so awesome because that can encourage us in those times where we don't feel it, but we need to know that God is there. And another point that I want to highlight from this seedling to flowering stage is the fact that it takes time. And time is kind of my worst enemy because it requires patience. And my friends and family can tell you I'm not necessarily the most patient person in the world. I want things done straight away because then I can move on to the next thing. And actually, that's not always the best thing because then we miss the process and we miss the journey. And if we're missing the process and if we're missing the journey, we're actually losing out on spending that time in learning and growing to trust God. So in that, it's God didn't take away my problems as I was praying and like, oh, as I'm stressed. Like, God didn't do that, but he met me where I was at. And that was the most important thing to me because I could look back and not just be like, oh, yeah, I was saved there. I'm protected. It was I can look back and be like, oh, no, I'm so much more confident now. I know what I'm capable of because I have to go through that and God didn't leave me in that, which is so important. And then that takes us on to the last stage, which is the harvest. And again, God states that this is our responsibility. And I think that's by his grace because I think the harvest is the fun part. Like this is the part where we get to witness what God has done. We get to admire the goodness that he has grown. So like I got to witness in Cambodia, a 14-year-old give her life to Jesus for the first time. Like I got to witness a contact tell us like, oh, these kids have never been loved on so well. So I got to witness that. And that is the awesome part, I think, about who God is he wants us to be a part of the celebration as well. And I know that in our lives, like we can sometimes it's easy to be like, I'm always in the planting and I'm always in the planting or I'm always in the growing. I'm always in the growing. And I think that's true. Like, different seasons merit different things, but it says in this passage, like the harvest will come. Like you may not get to see it, you may not get to be a part of it, but the harvest has come. And that's what I think is really important to remember, that in these seasons of growing, and like my season of growing has been like, even when I did feel like I didn't deserve it, or I wasn't good enough to know where God was at, he was still faithful to me. Like, that was the season that I was going through of growing. Like, the season, I've been through seasons of maybe it's loss of relationship, loss of dreams, loss of hopes. Like, but in that, I had to find where God was, and I had to find that he was in that, in the growing with me. And it can also be trusting in God for someone else. Maybe you've planted a seed in someone else, and you want to see that grow. And it's a season of trusting in God for that, in that person as well, that God is faithful, more faithful to his seeds than we are. So as I come to a close, I was thinking about like how I wanted to end this. And I realized I think it's important for us all to reflect back and think about what season we're in. Where is God at in our lives? And yeah, so I'm just going to bite into a moment of silence. And I challenge you in that time to pray a prayer and say, God, I don't feel that you're here, but I know that you're here. Or God, I don't know where you're at, but I'm trusting that you're here anyway. And really giving those things to God, because I have really seen that it's when we're at our least or when we have nothing left to God to go and we give it to God, that is when God can really move and bring about that harvest in different ways.